I mean, glad it's Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Is it? Man. Yeah. Yeah, it's the greatest time in church.
I mean, this is it. This is supposed to be the best. God did something on this day nearly 2,000 years ago on that resurrection morning that He had never done before. It wasn't that He raised somebody from the dead. He had done that before. Right? But what He did is He made a man immortal. He made someone raised from the dead and they would never die again. They were immortal. And what's so wonderful about that is that that's my promise too. One day, I am going to be immortal. In fact, I'm beginning on it right now. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, "Behold, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be." In other words, we're not there yet. Aren't you glad we're not there yet? Aren't you glad there's still some more things to learn and some more things to do? "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." I mean, we got some changing to do, don't we? It doesn't appear yet what we're going to be. We're going to be doing some things. We're going to be changing. And when He appears, we're going to be like Him. And then verse 2 says this, that everyone that has this hope purifies himself. Right. We work it on ourselves. Right. I mean, no, we don't all get it at one time, but it doesn't all come with one prayer. He purifies himself, and she purifies herself even as He is pure. And so there's some things to be done in the kingdom of heaven. There's some changing, some things to learn, and some things to change toward. Because I want to have my resurrection day too. I want to experience immortality. And that's the promise. We did this drama skit several weeks back, and I told them I wanted to do it again for Easter, and they said, "For Easter?" And I said, "Yeah. Because you see, that to me is what the empty tomb is really about." See, if we just stop with Jesus being raised and we stop there, if we stop with Him just being raised from the dead, we stop with an empty tomb. Jesus did more than raise from the dead. He's still going out and drawing people, bringing people to Father, changing lives every day. How many lives are just going to change today? All across this world, all around this globe, people are doing what we're doing. People have already done it, and people will be doing it. But all day long, this day is changing lives. Jesus is going forth and changing lives. And what that empty tomb screams of is life. It screams life. And not only eternal life, but fullness of life right now. He rose from the dead to offer you and I abundant life. Now. Right now. And Christ followers are supposed to get out of our tombs. Church sometime can be a tomb. And that's what we were depicting. We're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to go out and take life. And offer life, just as Jesus went from His tomb. And go into the world. Not being a part of the world, but going into the world. And making other people experience life. And that more abundantly. Today I want to talk about the images of Easter. And that's my title. The images of Easter. So why don't we pray? And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 10:10. I'll be there after a while. But let's pray. Father, I really want to try to communicate what You have shared with me over the past several weeks about the images of Easter. Father, I want to I want to offend the kingdom of darkness, but I don't want to offend my brothers and my sisters. And I ask you to help me, give me wisdom, guide my words. I ask you, Lord, that we'll be able to see the images of Easter in a different way when we leave here today. So I ask you to help us. And Father, while I'm at it, thank you for Resurrection Sunday. You know, thank you for saving me and raising me from dead. And thank you for giving me a full life. And thank you for promising me immortality. Thank you. Amen. Before I get into the images of Easter and talk about these issues that I want to talk about today, I want to share with you something about myself, my evolution as a Christ follower. Sometimes these things can be sensitive. You may not think so, but sometimes just the images of Easter can be a sensitive topic. And I want to bring down our defenses so that we can truly hear what the Lord wants to say to us. So I need to share with you just a moment about my personal evolution and walk with the Lord. As soon as I came into the kingdom of heaven, I mean, this was just like the next couple of months. And when I came in 1978, I began to see a lot of things. And one of the things that I began to see was that most of what we celebrate at Christmas time and at Easter time really isn't to do with the Bible. It has a lot to do with things that pagan societies or ancient societies did. And this offended me. It offended me because no one had ever really told me that before. And I was seeing what I felt like Christians doing things that pagan societies or ancient societies did. And when I say pagan, I'm not necessarily talking about the lost and those guys. I'm talking about more of the ancient times. And so I began a personal vendetta. I was going to change that. I was going to change the world about Easter and Christmas. And I had a difficult time with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. I really did. And I went off the deep end. The Apostle Paul was having a conversation with Festus one time, and Festus told him, he said, "Paul, much learning has made you mad." And the word mad there means insane. "Much learning has made you insane. And you are beside yourself about this issue." And I got that one. I could relate to Paul being insane over specific issues. And I kind of did that. And I wouldn't let my family have Christmas trees or celebrate Christmas for several years. There were no Easter eggs in our yards. Those things kind of became taboo. Halloween, of course, and still is, by the way, out of the question. But on the other things, I've learned a little bit, and I like to think that I've advanced. I still have some problems, but I've learned to separate the mundane from the holy. And it's about that I really want to talk about. There's things that we allow that are just mundane, they're just unimportant, to consume our thoughts and our time. And they really are irrelevant. But yet there's a holy aspect to those things. And that if we're not careful, the devil will take something very, very precious, like creation, and defile it. And I was sharing with someone this week about this, and they said, "Let's take it back. Let's take it back." We took the dance back. Nobody has a problem here anymore with dance. Well, when I came to town, it wasn't that way. We've redeemed it. Yeah, yeah. We don't have a struggle here. Now, if you haven't been here much, maybe you still do a little bit. But with loud music and guitars and drums and those kinds of things, we took it back. You see. And the enemy will take anything and defile it, even things of creation. And so let's talk about the images of Easter. Easter has a lot of images. It has lots of images. We have Easter lilies. We have Easter eggs. We have Easter chicks and ducks. We have Easter bunnies. We have Easter bonnets. We have an empty cross. We have an empty tomb. And all of those speak of this season that we have come to call Easter. All of them speak of it. I want to talk about that. When you think of Easter, which image comes to your mind? Or maybe I should say which images. Because it wouldn't surprise me if all of these come to your mind. And there's a reason. There's a reason. And it's not because you're a pagan. It's because at this time of the year, every kingdom in heaven and earth, every kingdom in heaven and earth, except one, the kingdom of darkness, rejoices and rejuvenates and rebirths. And as it is resurrected. Hallelujah. Every kingdom. I'm going to show you this. And these images show us these different kingdoms. And I thought this was one of the coolest things. Because it would begin to help me separate the mundane from the holy. For example, let me give you this one. This one was pretty neat to me. The vernal equinox. Now I know that most of us don't because I did it. But the vernal equinox is the time of the year when the orbit of the sun and the moon so align that the sun is in direct alignment with the equator, and there's equal time in day and night. And it's at that time of the vernal equinox that the heavens refresh. They resurrect again. The heavens themselves. And God created it that way. And He says, every time that this happens, then what we're going to do is we're going to start the seasons all over again. And we're going to realign things. And we're going to start again with things. And this time of the year comes at that time of the vernal equinox, where everything realigns, where everything refreshes, where everything is resurrected. Even the heavens. Even the heavens. And God said, that was good. Every kingdom is resurrected. The Easter lily, if you will allow me, will represent the plant kingdom. Grass at this time of the year that was dormant and seemingly dead rejuvenates and is resurrected. Leaves and buds and blooms and blossoms comes on flowers and trees. Gardens are planted and start busting up out of the ground. The air is filled with pollen. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, life comes from death. And every kingdom, heaven and in earth, begins to rejoice. Every kingdom. The fowl kingdom. If you'll allow me, chickens and ducks. The fowl kingdom selects this particular time of the year to rejuvenate. We see birds pairing up and building their nest. We walk around in our yards and look at our trees and we'll find nests with loud little chirps and hungry little mouths. And the fowl kingdom rebirths and is resurrected and comes forth again. Every kingdom rejuvenates. The eggs. I didn't think about it, but the eggs, you know, we think of mostly chickens. But eggs are bring forth so much life. Most fish lay eggs. Yeah. And reptiles and insects. And they lay eggs. And this time of the year is when fish begin to spawn. And the kingdom begins to rejuvenate. And begins to resurrect in every aspect of life. We see snakes and the lizards running across the road. Well, not running exactly. We see insects began to buzz and fly. And I was just thinking about this the other day. My grandchildren and I, we were out in the yard doing something, playing with them, doing something, and we started watching butterflies. Because the equinox has come and life is resurrecting and the heavens and the earth are rejoicing. Because it's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year.
Oh, I have a problem here.
How many are starting to hear what I'm trying to say? Is that good? You can hear better now? Yeah, good. Every kingdom against the animal kingdom. Now, I want to introduce you to Mr. Halfstache. Mr. Halfstache is down here. I fell in love with this guy this week. I brought him, and I had some intentions. I was going to pick him up and play with him, but he scratched me really good, and I'm not going to do that. But this guy is a smart animal. He has his own little bathroom in there, and he uses it. He does. And you can take him out of there, and he doesn't want to go back into his pen. He wants to stay out and play. And he's got toys in here, and he plays with these toys. He rings bells. He makes this little rattle thing rattle. The animal kingdom rejuvenates. Now, you can't not like Mr. Halfstache. You can't not like little chicks because the devil took them and tried to defile it. Because they represent kingdoms that are rejuvenating and coming forth. You can't not like Easter eggs. Huh? How many of you are probably going to eat an Easter egg today? Come on, be honest with me. Come on. A lot of us. I am. Because it's not representing that stuff to me anymore. It's representing something far above that. Far superior to that. And I'm wanting just to see this. I'm trying to get this across to us. That every kingdom rejuvenates. Animals, this time of the year, the rabbits take full advantage of this particular time of the year. And they recreate, they procreate once again, and they resurrect their future at this time of the year. And they bring forth life. And that's what the empty tomb is really all about, is it not? Is life. Amen. It's about bringing forth life. And everything, every kingdom is resurrecting. And it's not uncommon to see little rabbits. I'm having a trouble here, aren't I?
I have it on backwards. How do you have a microphone on backwards? I don't think that's in the Bible. Let's see, microphone.
Every kingdom is rejoicing. Every kingdom is experiencing this wonderful, wonderful, you know, time of the year. Animal kingdoms, little squirrels and rabbits, and they're securing their future. And you see, that's what we're doing today here. Believers in Jesus Christ, we secure a future. Resurrection Sunday. Okay. Easter bonnets. That speaks of the kingdom of man. Kingdom of Man also celebrates this. Now, let me take a moment and just work at something just real well here. Because of the time of Easter, see, we think of Easter as just the time of spring. In our society, we have central heat, and our homes are well heated, and we have no problem going to convenient places and obtaining food and having a lot of clothing. But it wasn't that way in ancient times. Our lives change little. Our cars are climate controlled, and our lives change very little when winter months come. No matter how hard or difficult they are, our lives really don't change a great deal. Not today. But it wasn't that way. Winter became a point of association with death. It's because a lot of people died during the cold, hard months of winter in ancient times. And it was not a time to look forward to. And so when springtime came, when finally the ground began to warm and the trees began to bud and the rabbits began hopping and all the things began happening that happen at this time of the year, when this began happening, people began to celebrate in ancient times. They had made it. They had made it through the hardest part of the year, and they were going to go out and they were going to celebrate. And they literally and truly rejoiced. Now, we still experience this somewhat, but we don't do it like they used to do it. The Mardi Gras came from such things as that. When springtime came, Mardi Gras time. Easter parades. Now, we don't do that a whole lot now. But the Easter bonnet was part of the Easter parade. And ladies would make these little hats, these little bonnets with flowers in them. And they were really rejoicing. Not just in recent, but I'm talking about in pagan times, in ancient times, that was a big deal when Easter came. They made it. And it was such a rejoicing time that a lot of societies created goddesses and gods. They wanted to celebrate it so much that they created a goddess. And I want to show you this just real briefly. I'm not going to get in here. But they were so thrilled that they created a goddess, and her name was called Ostri. Now, I want you to see this. Here's how it's spelled in many different ways, and this probably isn't all of them. Ostra, Ostern, Ishtar, Asherah, Esther. And it's from that we get our word Easter. So in defense of people like me who had a difficult time with these kinds of things, I just wanted you to see this. The Bible literally relates back to this. She was a goddess of spring, or the recreation of the earth again. And the Bible relates to this, and there is a couple of verses. There's many verses. I'm just going to read you a couple of them, though. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 23, it says here, "They also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones of Asherah poles, on every high hill and under every spreading tree. There were even male shrine prostitutes in the land. The people engaged in all the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites." So what had happened with this Ostri thing, this Asherah thing, is that it became a pagan worship. It became a fertility cult, both male and female. And we know how God feels about false gods, and especially about these types of things. And this is why some people have a hard time with just the word Easter. Now, understand, God does not like false gods, but understand that He loves us to celebrate life. Right? He loves us to recognize life and its beauty and its wonder. It is His gift to each of us. Yeah, he doesn't like the false gods and those false things, but it's learning to separate the mundane from the holy and allowing those things to really minister and speak into our life. Every kingdom celebrates the season of Easter. Every single kingdom, as we're seeing, every kingdom has somehow knowingly or unknowingly or planned or not planned, but every kingdom has somehow brought forth an image that we associate with Easter or with this time of the year or with Resurrection Day. Somehow, every kingdom has worked its way into the celebration. And that's kind of what I'm wanting you to see today. But so has the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven celebrates life, but life in a far superior way. The kingdom of heaven has its empty cross and its empty tomb. And it's from these things that we get our icons, or we get our images. And every year, at this time, something happens within your heart, within my heart, that resurrects, that recreates, that brings forth our faith, that causes us to want to go to church, that causes us to want to praise God, that causes us to say, I'm going, it's Easter, and I need to go to church. Something happens, something resurrects within each of us and within people all across the world and all across this planet on this particular day. Something very special and very spiritual happens. It's because of Resurrection Sunday. You see, as it were, when Jesus was crucified on that Friday and nailed to that cross and died, it was though the kingdom of heaven went dormant. They took his bloody body and they wrapped it and they put it in a tomb. And all their hopes were over. But then on Resurrection Sunday, on that day, on that first day of the week, he rose from the dead. And from that image, every year you and I get to renew our thoughts and our faith and our experience. See, Easter Sunday, more than any other day of the year, is the day when the world recognizes Jesus Christ. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. We refresh our birth in Him. Now, isn't it interesting that Father God planned Resurrection Day smack dab right in the middle of all these other times when everything else is rejuvenating and where everything else is bringing forth its images of the kingdom, or its kingdom image, and every other? It seemed like to me, you know, Father, why didn't you just plan it at a different time? Why didn't you put this at a special time of the year where we could just totally concentrate on resurrection and not have to think about rabbits and eggs and lilies and bonnets? Why didn't he do that? Let me ask you this. What better time is there for God to have planned this wonderful, wonderful time when life and all of its beauty is coming forth? What better time than for God to have done this? I want to give you my take on this. I want to show you this passage in St. John chapter 10. Here's why I believe that God did this. In John 10:10, if you have your Bibles open, I ask you to turn there. Here we are. It says here, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now look at this. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why did Jesus come? To give us life. Is that only speaking of eternal life? No. Yeah, but no. It is speaking of eternal life, but not only eternal life. And then looking at that from the NIV Bible, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Would you say that back to me? To the full. To the full. See, I believe everyone, whether you were go after the ancient societies, whether you're a believer of Jesus Christ and a Christ follower, or whether you're not, I believe that everyone celebrates life at this time of the year. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I believe God gave us life to celebrate, and life should be a celebration. Whether you're saved or not saved, or worship Jesus or don't worship Jesus, it doesn't. What we do at this time of the year is life comes forth. And I believe that everybody is to enjoy life. But that verse promises me that I don't only have to breathe air, but I can enjoy life to the full. I not only promise that I will have eternal life one day down the road, but I can have life to the full right now. And let me tell you this, friend. Any true believer will tell you what I'm telling you right now. It doesn't get any better than worshiping Jesus. Any true believer will tell you that this kingdom and its images won't just bring you a happy time. It brings you a life and a life to the full. It brings you life, and that more abundantly. The kingdom of heaven will come into every area of your life. It comes into your finances. It comes into your marriage. It comes into your children. It comes into your home. You take it to your workplace. You take it everywhere you go because it's within you. And the promise that tomb says to me is that, Delbert, you can have eternal life when you die. And you can have your immortal. But I'm making a deal with you right now. If you'll come to me, you can have life to the full. Every area of your life can be blessed. Every area of your life can be touched by me. And I'm guaranteeing it because that tomb is empty. Because I raised from the dead, then you too are going to have eternal life. Spring, and this time we call Easter, has been around longer than Christianity. Eggs and chickens and flowers. All these things, all these images have been around longer than Christianity. Life has rebirthed itself at this season of the year since day four. Easter has been around longer than Resurrection Day. Pagan people searched for a way to worship and thank God for a way for this wonderful time of the year. And so they created their own goddess. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. You don't have to create one. You have one. And He's offered Himself for you. He's given His life so that you can have eternal life and that you can enjoy life to the full right now. Life is wonderful. And life is to be celebrated. But hear me. Hear me, friend. But only through Jesus Christ will you have life to the full. And only through Jesus Christ can you experience and have a guarantee of immortality. Only through Jesus is there a promise of eternal life. So what I'd like for you to do is just bow your heads and just listen to me. So where are you today? Where are you today with your images of Easter? Do you only know what the ancients did and recognize the Easter lily and the Easter bunny and the Easter eggs and Easter bonnet? Or have you come to the place of recognizing the real true meaning of this season? A higher level of life. An empty cross and an empty tomb. Have you received life? Can you experience life to the full? Because you never will and you never can until Jesus becomes your Lord. That's what He came to do. And He promises you can have it. What is the promise of your future? Is it full? I pray it is. But if not, we're going to fix that. And I ask you to fix it right now. Right this moment. And I want everybody in here, if they will, just to pray after me. I want you to pray, if you will, out loud with me. And just repeat this prayer with me. Because I'm praying that somebody will experience resurrection today. That somebody's icons, somebody's images of Easter are going to change. We can still enjoy all the others. But this particular one gives us a guarantee. So if you will, pray after me. If you will, every person in here, just pray out loud as I pray. Our Father, give us. Save us. Forgive us. Lord Jesus, I will serve You from this day forward. I desire life to the full. I want eternal life. Fill my heart, I ask. And in the name of Jesus, I receive You as Lord and Savior. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank You for this wonderful, wonderful day. This wonderful time of the year that we call Resurrection Day or Easter Sunday. Father, I pray that every person here will have a wonderful time with their family. that they'll experience life to the full. That, Lord, they'll allow the images of Easter to minister to them. And they'll allow every single thing, Lord, that you came to do for us and to bring us life to the full. Bless them. In Jesus' name I pray.